God is good, amen? And God is good to us. Who of you can testify that somewhere in the last week the Lord has done something wonderful in your life? Just wave. All right, everybody just look around. So if the Lord didn't do something for you this week, believe that He'll do something for you in the week that lies ahead. Because look at how many people were touched in this one week by God. Who of you were here last week? Who of you were ministered to last week? Who of you were blessed by the ministry last week? Just wave at me. Amen. Bless God. Who of you experienced God touching your life and changing your life last week? Just wave at me. Just wave at me. Amen. So, guys, God is in the business of changing lives. Amen. But we have to give Him the opportunity to change our life. In other words, we have to respond when the Lord calls on us. Tonight we're going to be praying for people. And we're going to be praying for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to receive the joy of the Lord, to receive that which the Holy Spirit brings and the Holy Spirit gives. And if you have never experienced it, it's time that you come forward and that you receive prayer, because there is a lot that the Lord desires to give to you and I. And let me just give you some scripture to help you to understand something. You know, a lot of people, when it comes to things happening in the church, people get very gestressed. And I don't blame you, because if you come from a church where nothing never happens and something suddenly happens, of course you get stressed. What's this now? What, you know, what newfangled idea is this? You remember when Jesus went into the church in the book of Mark chapter 1 from verse 21? The Bible says Jesus came out of the desert after He had been confronted by Satan. And Jesus went and He preached in the first church, which was a little city called Capernaum. And He was ministering the Word of God, and the Bible says He was teaching them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And the people said to one another, "What is this? What new teaching is this? For He teaches with power and He teaches with authority." You see, my friend, it is a paradigm shift when you are confronted with the power of the kingdom of God. Amen? It's weird. The first time Jesus preached and the anointing of God filled the church, the people sat there and they said, "What on earth is this? What new teaching? What new way of doing things is this?" My friend, I want to say to you tonight that it's time that we experience new things again, like they did in the book of Mark chapter 1 from verse 21, when Jesus walked into the church filled with the power of God, filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He began to preach and things began to happen. Amen. We need that. For too long, we've been experiencing nothing. When was the last time a good sermon changed your life? Come on. We hear good sermons all the time. We still carry on messing around, don't we? Or is it just me? Must you all lay hands on me now? No, come on. It's true. You know what? You sit there and you listen to a sermon and you think to yourself, "Man, that's a good sermon. I must remember that stuff." But by tomorrow or the day after, you've forgotten just about everything that you heard. So let me say this to you, good sermons alone can never change your life. But a good sermon under the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost, when the Spirit of God and the finger of God touches your life, now that will change your life forever, radically, drastically. And that is what the people were talking about, because while Jesus was ministering in the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God began to touch people. He began to stir. And you know, when the Spirit of God stirs enough, things begin to happen. I pray that the Lord give me a very big spoon and call me stirrer. Because I believe that it's time to start stirring people's spirits to action. Stirring people's spirits that they come alive for the kingdom of God and for what God has planned for their life. Amen. Come on, we need these things. Amen, we need these things. And so yes, it's time that we come to a place where we begin to experience what the people experienced years ago when Jesus walked into the church and the power of God was there for the very first time. Now, it'll not be for the first time. But for some people, it'll be the first time that they experience the power of God, the power of the kingdom of God. And that's always an awesome thing. The first time that I experienced the power of God, I nearly ran out of the church. Yes, I felt exactly the same way that a lot of you felt when you've seen stuff happen at these meetings. You know, when there was a guy standing there praying for people and somebody fell over, something said to me in my mind, "This is not the place for you. You better get home now. Don't stay here. Don't listen to anything they are saying." But let me tell you something. If I had listened to that voice that night when I saw it happen the first time, I would not have changed at all. And quite possibly by now I would have been an alcoholic. I would have been addicted to pornography and a whole bunch of other rubbish. And my life would have been useless. But the Lord had mercy on me. He allowed me to see the power of His kingdom. Not only did He allow me to see it, He allowed me to feel the power of His kingdom. And you know what? That night God changed my life. From that night on, my life was never, ever, ever the same again. But you know what? I had to fight a couple of my demons to get to the place that I could experience the kingdom of God, because every devil in me was telling me, get out of here. Don't stay here. This is rubbish. This is nonsense. No, God can never work that way. Come on, some of you have heard those same voices. If you're going to be brutally honest, you'll tell me, yes, that's exactly what I've experienced. But the thing is, to fight through those voices, to fight through that feeling, that emotion, that this is rubbish, this is nonsense, and allow the Lord to touch you. I've said it before, it's human nature. We are generally afraid of that which we do not know. Come on, you all know that what I'm saying is true. We are afraid of that which we do not know, which we haven't experienced, which we are not familiar with. You know, when cell phones just came out, there was all of this stuff all over that is going to give you radiation, it's going to fry your brain, it's going to poison you, and I don't know, who knows, whatever. And a lot of people initially did not want to buy them because, you know what, I don't want cancer by the time I'm 12 years old or something. But today we all have one glued to our one ear. Because we've become familiar with it. And because we've become familiar with it, we don't have a problem with it anymore. It's time that we become familiar with how God works. So that when God decides to work, we don't all jump up and run out the door because this is weird, this is some weird sect. That we embrace what the Lord wants to do. Because the Lord wants to minister to His people. Amen? Amen. And you have to understand something, my friend. When the Lord begins to minister to His people, He ministers the way He chooses, not the way we choose. That's one of the biggest problems. We believe that we can have the audacity to say to the one that said, let there be light, you're actually wrong there. You shouldn't do it that way. Now, you know what? I think you should rather approach it this way or do it that way. You don't get to tell God how to work because God knows the problem. God sees everything. You and I, we see tiny little things. We need to allow God to do what He wants to do. We need to allow God to work the way that He wants to work. And that brings us to what we are talking about right now. We are talking about the Holy Spirit and understanding the Spirit of God, because it is in the power of the Holy Spirit, under the anointing of the Spirit of God, that the power of God is released and that God begins to move. Jesus said the following. He said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. In other words, when you pray for somebody and a demon comes out of them, unbeknownst to you, or in a way that your physical eyes cannot see, the only reason why that evil spirit would come out of that person is because the finger of God is beginning to push that thing out. In the same way, when a miraculous healing takes place, when somebody has got some problem and the Lord ministers in that area and it is healed, it is because the same finger of God is just applying a different thing, a technique or whatever, and He's doing an operation in the Spirit. And because of the operation that takes place in the Spirit, there is physical healing that manifests. You see, the thing is, my friend, if you have a hernia, it's going to be very difficult for me to stick my hand all the way down your throat to where the problem is and sort it out, because you are going to bite my fingers off. So you see, I can't do it that way. But if we pray for you and you allow the Spirit of God to begin to touch you and to begin to minister to you, then that same finger of God begins to do the work inside of you. If God created you and I, and God has a blueprint for your life. Of course He's got a blueprint for your life. He knows exactly how He created you and He knows exactly why. And He also knows exactly why you are on this planet. And so sometimes because of life, because of tragedy, because of difficulty, because of disappointment, things have happened to us that we are no longer resembling our heavenly blueprint. Things have gone wrong. It might be sickness, it might be infirmity, it might be asthma, it might be who knows whatever it might be. But as long as there is a problem, we need the one that created us. We need God to bring us back to the place that we reflect His creation in our bodies. And the only one that knows what to take me back to is the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore He is capable of restoring my life to the place where my body, my soul, and my spirit reflects the person that I am supposed to be in the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know you, but I know myself. And I know that if you take my life 15 years ago and you compare it with the person that is standing before you tonight, you would not recognize me. You would recognize my face. And you would see that I've got a lot more gray in my beard than I had back then. But you would not recognize the person because the person is so different. My one friend is sitting there. Me and him were talking tonight. And he said to me, he was talking to another friend of ours that was at school with us, that has heard about these meetings and he's heard about what the Lord is doing in my life. And this friend said to him, but he really can't understand that because Rion always used to be this quiet oaky that never had much to say. Man, you wouldn't say that now, would you? Give me half a chance and you can't get the mic away. But that is true because that's who I used to be. But you know what? That's not who God created me to be. I was quiet because of things that happened in my life. I was quiet because I had deviated from my godly call. I had deviated from the person that God wanted me to be. And when the Holy Spirit began to work in my life, He simply brought me back to where I'm supposed to be. When God created me, He gave me a lot to say. When God created me, He created me to be able to stand in front of people and speak. But when I was in the world, I couldn't do any of those things. Now, I never had a problem speaking with my friends and all of that. But if you wanted me to have a slow panic attack, you put me in front of people and say, talk, say something. Because you see, the thing is, my friend, I couldn't do that. And there's a lot of other things that I couldn't do. But I had to meet the person that could change my life in that way. And I met him one night in a church when everything in me said, don't. But that everything in me was all the devils that was controlling my life at that stage of my life. Because Satan hates change, especially godly change. And he will always say to you, don't allow this change to come into your life because this is going to be a disaster. No, when it's from God, it's not a disaster. It brings about victory. Godly change will always elevate you, will always give you victory, and will always bless you. Of course, you can bring about demonic change. If I was to go back to the rubbish that I was into 15 years ago, then I'm just going to give the devil a baseball bat and say, just hit me over the head 10 times. And I will suffer all the consequences. So I need to bring about godly change. Now, how does that godly change come into my life? Well, it comes through the Spirit of God that begins to lead me and begins to guide me in accordance with God's will and call and destiny and purpose for my life. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is in fact a very important person. And unless you know Him, you've got problems. We were discussing the Holy Spirit last week. We looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit actually speaks. We saw that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And He is called the Spirit of truth in the book of John 16 verse 12 to 14. Where we see that it says, I have much more to say to you. More than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. So, the Holy Spirit wants to speak into your life. He wants to reveal to you the things that God already knows about you, but that right now, quite possibly, you don't have the foggiest idea about. There might be some of you sitting here right now that has the potential to be an awesome father, or a phenomenal wife, or a blessing of a husband. But realistically, you might not be at that place right now. And the Holy Spirit needs to begin to speak the things of God into your life so that you can become that which God always destined you to be. Now, why would somebody not necessarily be the perfect wife or the perfect husband or the perfect father? Because of life. Because of the circumstances that come upon us in life. You know what? Disappointment is a very powerful thing. Who of you have been disappointed by either somebody or by something somewhere in your life? Just wave at me. Now you will know that there were many times, because you see the era in which we grew up, most of us anyway, the era in which most of us grew up, we still went to school where the average teacher had this either big fat blank or this serious cane. And they used to name them. Now, I can't really remember the names of the things that we used to get hidings with, but I remember that there were some of those hidings that were very, very painful. All right? There was one or two teachers, especially in high school, that if you got a hiding from them, you remembered it for at least a week. Because everything was tender all over for at least a week. And they used to hurt like anything. But you know what? The worst hiding that I ever got in my life never came close to some of the disappointments that I felt and the pain that I felt because of disappointment through what people said or what people did. And you see, the thing is, my friend, you know, let's put this to you, into perspective for you. The Apostle Paul likes to compare our life with an athlete running a race. In other words, when I get born, I am at the starting point. And as I progress on the race of life, I get closer and closer and closer to my destiny. And some of us, we hurry along, and some of us, we take our time. Some of us are running, some of us are jogging, some of us are strolling, and some of us are just plain moving backwards. Which is not a good thing. We need to be going forward. Now, if you take that athlete, and you suddenly give him immense pain, whether it be from a thorn that come into your foot. Who of you have ever seen a kameeldoring? You can stop even a lion at 10 paces with one of those things, you know? It's a serious piece of hardware, that. And if you step in that thing, I promise you, you're going nowhere fast. No, you're going to go somewhere, you're going to go straight down. And you'll have to sit there and you'll have to pull the thing out and then you'll have to somehow start hobbling along again. But it's going to damage your progress. Pain affects your progress. Now, if that thorn can do that to my foot, then the words of a person can do that to my heart. And you know what it often does? You take somebody that was moving along at a nice pace, a brisk pace in the race of life, moving towards the goal, moving towards the target, and suddenly something happens where somebody says something or doesn't say something. You know, sometimes what people don't say hurts just as much as what people say. Or somebody does something, and there's that pain that comes into your heart. And it has exactly the same effect as me stepping on that thorn, because you know what? Because of the pain, it's going to start immediately affecting my progress. Sorry. Now, the fact is, my friend, that there are many people that don't just have one isolated incident where somebody has taken a dagger and stuck it into your heart. Some people have had that kind of a life. They've had one hurt after the other hurt, one disappointment after the other disappointment, and now their life is actually going nowhere. And so that needs to be sorted out. That needs to be dealt with. And then we saw that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Very, very important. Linking up with what we just said about people experiencing pain and pain affecting the way that we progress in life. You can't really get healed of the pain until you receive comfort in the time that you're experiencing that pain. You know, it's amazing. But that's when it's good to have people around you. You know, when you're going through some kind of a turmoil and you're going through a lot of problems and there's a lot of hurt in your life, sometimes it takes one or two choice words from somebody very close to you that just seems to make such a big difference to your outlook on life. You know what, when just about anybody comes and says, "Ach, things will be better tomorrow." Nah, whatever. But when your wife comes, or your husband comes, or your father comes, or your mother comes, somebody that you love and trust, and they say, "You know what, I'm here for you. Don't stress. We're going to work through this together. Everything's going to be all right." It's like you feel that load come off of you, and you suddenly have this thing, you know what, maybe things aren't that bad. Maybe things will be better. Now, the Holy Spirit is the person that is the godly expert at comforting people. And let me say to you that He uses people. Because often when somebody comes into your life and they begin to speak a word of comfort in your life, it is none other than the Spirit of God speaking through them, bringing comfort into that area of your life. But the fact of the matter is, a person will battle to get healed from the hurt and the pain that they went through in life until they meet with the Comforter. Because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, needs to begin to minister to that area where you received the blows, where that person stuck the dagger, whether it is in your heart or in your back. We all know about the betrayals of a jealous soul. Some of you have known many souls in your life. And unlike David, you have been hit by every dagger, every javelin that has been thrown. And so the Holy Spirit is the person that you need to meet, because He can help you to be healed of that which came into your life through either words or situations or things that people have done. Now, the next thing that I want to show you about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is the person that convicts the world of sin. In the book of John chapter 16 verse 8, it says the following: "But when He comes," referring to the Holy Spirit, because at that point in time, Jesus was teaching the disciples about the Spirit of God that was about to come. He says, "But when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." What is the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the fact that man is separated from God because of sin, but through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we can receive redemption from sin and be reunited with our Father. My friend, unless a person can come to a place that they understand the point or the fact that they are separated from God because of sin in their life, they will never accept the gospel of Christ. Because when you try and explain to somebody that doesn't believe that they have sin, that doesn't understand the power of sin, which is the power of death upon their life, then they think you are mad when you tell them that they need a Savior. Because it doesn't make any sense to them. And so this is a very important point, because the thing is, we are called to bring the lost into the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say to the disciples? "From now on, you will be fishers of men." Now, generally the ladies don't like fishing all that much. Get over it, because you're a fisher. But that doesn't mean that you have to go and fish the way that your husband often used to fish. In other words, go there to Hartis or the Vaal Dam or something, and you stock up a lot on brandy and a lot on whiskey, but very little on food. Okay, some of the Oaks used to like a big fat steak. And you spend the whole weekend there wallowing around in the mud. But because you're drunk enough, you don't care about any of that stuff. And whether you catch something or you don't catch something is immaterial. No, that's not the kind of fishing that God wants you and I to do. Bless God for that. In my young days, I was open to that. Today, I enjoy a different type of fishing. Because we have now become fishers of men. And bless God, you don't need to use a size 10 hook to catch them, because let me tell you something, you catch somebody with that hook, they won't listen to anything you say. They'll clap you. One time. They'll floor you. So we don't catch them with hooks, we don't catch them with sinkers, we don't catch them with gut, we don't catch them with fishing rods, we catch them with the gospel of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But, you can't catch them until you get them to a place that they understand what you are trying to catch them with. Amen? They have to understand the gospel. Now listen to what the scripture says. When He comes, in other words, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. The Bible says every single one of us is guilty before God because of the sin in our life. Now, when you are in the world and you are serving the God of this world and you are into drinking and you are into fornicating or you are into adultery or whatever, you do not necessarily feel guilty about it, because the whole world does it. You know, when you talk to somebody about stuff like that, they say, "What's your problem? Everyone does it. Can you see there is no guilt?" Ah, But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, because when the Holy Spirit comes in and the Holy Spirit is working with the person that is bringing the message, then for the first time in their life, that unbeliever experiences something that they never knew. Yeah, maybe. Sure. I never thought of it that way. But it's not because of you. It's because of the one working with you. Because of the one working through you. Because only the Holy Spirit can convict a man of sin and bring about guilt. Listen to me. Not condemnation. Guilt. So that the person can look at their life and say, you know what? What this man says is true. What the Bible says is true. Yes, I am. I am in the wrong standing with God. Yes, I understand. I do need a Savior. He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So now, people will never see the need for a Savior unless they can first see that they truly are lost. You see, my friend, that's what it's all about. In order to get somebody saved, you need to get them to the place that they understand, wow, I really am lost. And when it makes sense to them that they are lost, then they'll begin to look for the answers. So this is where the problem lies. Listen carefully to me. You cannot debate with somebody about salvation. Because when I debate with somebody, if I debate with Jose, we are having an intellectual conversation. What part of his life am I stimulating with debating with him? His mind. Salvation will never make sense in the mind of a man. Because there's 110 good reasons why his mind tells him, I don't need the stuff. And you see, that's the problem, because when we begin to debate, if it is simply a debate between me and an unsaved person, then I am trying to get into his mind to get him to understand salvation and understand the fact that he is lost, and he will never accept that. Because the place that needs to be touched is the heart. Hello? The place that needs to understand and begin to call out for God is not the mind. My friend, I don't care who you are, your mind is wicked. That's why Jesus doesn't live in your mind. Where does he live? He lives in your heart, because you can have a wicked mind, but you can have a pure heart if Christ is in your heart. And Christ will help you to slowly but surely get rid of the wickedness that is in your mind. You see, it is in our mind that we get thoughts of anger. It is in our mind that we get thoughts of hatred and violence and what's the word that I'm looking for? When somebody does something to you and you want to get them back? Revenge. We have revenge here. It's in the mind. Yes, we feel it in the heart, because we are feeding the heart from the mind. It is in the mind that we lust. Yes, we feel it all over the body, but it originates in the mind. And so that's why it doesn't help that you try and convince this oak's mind that he needs a Savior, because by that time his mind is so corrupt that even if he wants to, he can't believe you. Now you can't touch his heart. I say to you again, you can't stick your hand down his throat and change gears there or do whatever it is that needs to be done. Reprogram the thing, because it's not human. It's not possible. But if the finger of God is working with you while you are speaking to that individual or while a preacher is preaching, then that begins to happen supernaturally. As you bring the message, the finger of God is touching in all the right places. And that person is sitting there, and even if it is for the first time in their life, they begin to feel guilty about their life. Not for the purpose of condemnation, but for the purpose of salvation. Because if they can begin to feel guilty about what they experience in life, they can begin to say, you know what? I need to change, and I realize I can't do this alone. What the Bible says is true. I really do need a Savior. It is absolutely impossible for you and I, in our humanity, to convict an individual of sin. It is extremely easy for the Holy Spirit to do that, because he knows exactly which buttons to push. Now, don't get me wrong. Not everybody accepts what the Holy Spirit speaks into their heart, because some people harden their heart. The Bible says, today when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. That day when I was sitting in church, and I heard the message of Jesus Christ. Now let me clarify, I knew the gospel of Jesus Christ. I knew it and I understood it. And to a certain extent, I had yielded to what God wanted to do in my life. But there was always a part of me that was rebelling against God. Because you see, I also had this proverbial thing where I'm young and I want to enjoy life. And you know what, later, one day I'll sort things out. One day I'll stop doing the things that I'm doing. But for now, I just want to enjoy life. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, we've all been there. Well, most of us have been there. And I was sitting there and I was listening to this gentleman speak. It was a visiting preacher, an evangelist. Now, firstly, that was weird because the church that I go to or that I went to at that stage was not really, you didn't really get evangelists. You had the preacher preach, but, you know, there wasn't really such a thing as an evangelist coming there and preaching or different preachers. So it was a little bit strange that they had this other person there, but this person stood there and he simply gave a sermon. It was similar to the sermons that had been preached in that building for the last 20 years. If you had to sit there and you had to give marks, you might even have given the local pastor a higher mark than what you gave the evangelist. But when the evangelist spoke, it did something in my spirit. When the evangelist spoke, something was beginning to push my buttons. My seat got hot. I got heart palpitations. I felt like drums going off in my ears, doof, 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 all the time. And there was this insane thing working in me that I have to get out of this place. I mustn't listen. This is not good. This is not for me. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is while that man was speaking, there was a war going on in my spirit. And I had to make a decision. What am I going to do about this war? Am I going to just turn around and run and lose the fight? Or am I going to face these things and do something about my life? And bless God, I made the decision to stand and fight. Because that was the night that the Lord changed my life. But you see, that night, for the first time, I was confronted with the Holy Spirit of God. And I felt Him working in me. And I knew that this is what I need. I had heard the gospel 1,000 times before. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but at least 100 times before, I'd heard the gospel. I'd heard people speak about it. I'd had people come to me and say, listen, yeah, is your life right with God? Yes, man, of course, leave me alone. Liar, liar, pants is on fire. Of course my life wasn't right. But you see, back then I didn't care. But when I heard the message, coupled with the move and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, man, it did something inside of me. But I still had to come to the place where I yielded to what God wanted to do in my life. And I want to say to you that you can resist the Holy Spirit. You remember in the beginning we said, the Bible says, do not resist the Spirit of God and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. If you really put your foot down and you really want to be stubborn, you can tell the Spirit of God, get lost. And the funny thing is, He'll listen to you. Because God doesn't force people. You see, you can't take a 38 special, put it against somebody's head and say to him, listen, yeah, dry of braai, you know. There's not a good way of saying that in English, but it's like, if you don't turn now, it's tickets for you. Even if the person was to say, okay, you know what, man, let me just accept your Jesus and get it over with. God would not honor that because you manipulated them into the decision, and that's a decision that they have to make of their own free will. Does that make sense to you? The next characteristic of the Holy Spirit is that He is the one that guides us in all truth. John chapter 16 verse 13 says this, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. No, He will not speak on His own, but He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide us into all truth. Who of you have made mistakes in your life? Some of you must raise two hands now, if you really want to be fair. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody came that knows all the answers and says, you know what, I am willing to take you by the hand and I am willing to guide you so that you stop making all these silly mistakes. Because you see, the thing is, mistakes have a way of coming back and biting you in the backside. Is that right? Because a lot of times you make a mistake and you don't realize it at the time, but a month later, 2 months later, a year later, the bomb bursts. And now you have to deal with all of this rubbish. And then you think to yourself, man, if only I had made a different choice back then. If only I could have it over. Well, you don't really get overs. You get consequences when you make mistakes. And consequences, especially based on a mistake, are never a good thing. Now here's what the scripture says. When the Spirit of God comes, He will guide us in all truth. In other words, He is willing to work with you in your life if you allow Him to, and if you trust Him to guide you through this maze that we call life. Because you see, the thing is, every day is simply a sequence of decisions that we live through. And some decisions have good consequences, and some decisions have bad consequences. And I believe that there are many of you sitting here that should have realized by now that you don't have good discernment. Some of you have been bitten by the same snake 50 times. And you still keep going back and you still keep getting bitten. So what you need is you need a guide to say to you, you know what, big problems there. Don't go there. You're going to get hurt if you stay on this road. Take that. That looks like a detour, but it's not. It's actually a shortcut. The thing is, we don't see things like that. We are not created to be able to see things like that. None of you can see further than what your nose is long when it comes to the future. And it's no good you go and consult a fortune teller, because they are liars, man. They don't know the future. They got no cooking clue what the future holds. The devil is simply speaking through them, telling you what he wants you to hear. And he can back up what he says. If they say to you, there's a tall, dark and handsome coming into your future, the devil owns about a gazillion of them that he can send your way. But he'll make sure that the one that comes into your life is going to give you hell on earth. So you don't run to them and you try and figure out, should I marry this one, should I do this, should I do that, because it'll curse your life, something chronic. But there is somebody else that says, I am willing to be your guide. I am willing to go with you through life. And I am willing to show you the way to go. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. The Word of God says that every word written in the Bible was inspired by the Spirit of God. It was not what the writer wanted to write. It was what the writer was told to write by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible and the Word of God came into being through the Spirit of God, then it stands to reason that He alone is capable of giving you and I insight and understanding when it comes to God's Word and how God's Word pertains to my life. How God's Word pertains to the decisions that I need to make in my life. How God's Word pertains to my marriage, to raising my children, to making business decisions, etc., etc., etc. How many of you have experienced in the past that the Lord has somehow spoken to you through His Word? In other words, you had some situation in your life that you had to make a decision, or you didn't know how to cope, or you didn't know how to handle something, and by spending time in the Word, suddenly the penny dropped. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Because the thing is, the Holy Spirit has the ability to bring the Word out and make it real. The Word of God is called the Living Word. Jesus is the Living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, referring to Jesus. Jesus is alive, therefore the Word is alive. And because the Word is alive, the Word can speak into my life and speak into my circumstances. And the funny thing is, because the Word is alive, The same scripture can say two different things to two different people and still be accurate. Hello? In other words, one person is going through financial turmoil, and through a specific spirit the Lord gives them an answer. Another person is going through marital strife, and through the same person the Lord speaks to them. Now, there is no other book in the world that can operate that way, because there is no other book in the world that is living. The Word of God is living, because while you're reading those scriptures and while you're reading those verses and the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, He brings that Word to life in your spirit, and it begins to speak to you. And because it speaks to you, it'll begin to give you direction and guidance. If we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, He will reveal to us many, many truths about our life, about our circumstances, about our future, about the decisions that we need to make from His Word. I will never forget, after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, when the Lord touched my life that night, when that evangelist prayed for me, and all sorts of things happened in my life. One of the biggest changes that I immediately felt in my life after that day was the fact that the Word of God was suddenly alive to me. You know what? I come from a very, very traditional background. I'm not going to say to you that I believed I would go to hell if I didn't read my Bible, but I might as well have believed that. Because there were nights that I came back from the clubs, I was so stuck and drunk, I didn't know if I was coming or going, but I could not go to sleep if I didn't read my Bible. I'm not saying that it said anything to me. It obviously didn't mean anything to me, but man, I had to read my Bible, otherwise I couldn't go and sleep. Yeah. So I was very religious, but it never really did anything for me. And suddenly, after that night, when the Spirit of God came into my life, and the Spirit of God filled my life and began to work with me, and work in me, and work through me, I would read the Bible, and you know what? It was suddenly interesting. It was interesting and it was compelling because it was alive. Because it spoke to me. It made sense. Whereas before, there were a lot of things that just didn't make sense. I didn't like the New Testament. I'm going to be honest with you. I never liked the New Testament. I didn't like the major prophets. I didn't even like the minor prophets, because that was all Greek to me. All right? Perhaps I should say it was all Hebrew to me. Because I might as well have been reading Hebrew, because none of it made any sense. Because you see, the thing is, the Old Testament, like Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, there's a lot of stories in there. So I could at least get something from the story. You know, the story was interesting, but that doesn't mean that it spoke to me. But when it came to the New Testament, especially Paul, man, I tell you what, I thought to myself, Paul was one mixed up man. You know, I don't know what this oak was on, but it was way too powerful for me. And I never used to understand this oak, and today I love him. And I realize today that Paul put so much revelation into his writings, that one little scripture, you can sometimes preach a whole series on one scripture where Paul spoke. But it is because the Spirit of God spoke through him, and when the Spirit of God gives you revelation as to what he spoke through him, then the information is just boom, that much. But you see, this is the problem. If you try and read the Word of God without the Spirit of God working in your life, then you are reading history, and that is all. And you know what? It's sad to say, but we don't really learn much from history, do we? Because history repeats itself. People make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And God wants you to learn something from His Word. So you can't be reading history. It'll not change your life. Not now, not ever. The Holy Spirit will also reveal to us truth through other means. For example, dreams. Who of you have had the Lord speak to you in a dream? One of the most prominent ways that the Lord speaks is in a dream. The Bible says the Lord speaks in a dream, in a vision of the night. He opens man's understanding and he saves his soul from the pit. I would love for the Lord to save my soul from the pit if he sees that I'm going to make a mistake. And I can tell you now that on numerous different occasions, the Lord has done exactly that. Where I've been praying and praying and praying and praying about something, suddenly one night I'll have a dream. And after that dream, everything falls into place. I know and I understand what the Lord wants me to do. And not once has the Lord steered me wrong. But I can also say to you that obviously is not every dream by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Some are just dreams. Some of us, our minds are just really, really busy during the day. And when we go to sleep, we've got all this hectic stuff going on in our minds and we have these weird dreams. My wife, bless her, she's one of those people. Man, she can wake up every morning and say to me, I dreamt this and this and this. What does it mean? Sheesh, I don't know. it sounds like garbage to me. Because she dreams every night. I don't. I have maybe, I don't want to exaggerate, but I have maybe 10 dreams a year, if I'm lucky. I know they say that we dream every night, but I don't remember those dreams. But when I wake up and that dream is sitting here, then I know God's speaking to me. And then I also know I must begin to pray so that He can give me revelation as to what He's trying to say to me through this dream. Because it's always when God gives you something, when God gives you a message, it is so that you can respond to it. To either keep your soul from the pit or to help you to make a good decision or whatever. And that's why we need to pray. And once again, if revelation is going to come to you, if the truth pertaining to what you dreamt is going to come to you, it will not come from your mind because your mind does not have access to the kingdom of God. Your mind does not have access to the thoughts of God, but the Holy Spirit has access to the thoughts of God. And so He will reveal to you what the Lord is saying to you. Now this is very important. I need you to listen carefully. The Holy Spirit will never, ever, ever reveal to you anything that is not in line with Scripture. So you can't wake up one morning and have had a dream and you jump out of bed and you say to your wife, man, I'm divorcing you because God spoke to me last night. He says, I've had enough of you and I have to duck now. Hello? I know there's a lot of people that would love for the Lord to speak to them that way, but they should just come for prayer. Amen? No, they should just come for prayer because that's just rubbish. God will not reveal to you something through the Holy Spirit that is any truth outside of the Bible, because my friend, there is no truth outside of the Word of God. Whatever is outside of the Word of God is a lie from the enemy. Somebody was saying to me the other day, they attended a fairly big church. And the pastor's wife jumped on the stage and she made the following statement. She said the Lord had spoken to her in her quiet time about divorce. And she wanted the congregation to know that the Lord says that He doesn't have a problem with divorce. If you're sitting in a marriage and things haven't been working for 5 years or 10 years, you just up and went because you are doing more damage to yourself. And I thought to myself, wow. Wow, that's quite a statement to make. Because that's outside of the realm of truth that the Word of God gives us. The Word of God says you work at it. You work through it. Is there times where people need to get divorced? Well, people have got divorced in the past and they feel that they've got their reasons for it. But the number one thing that we should do is honor the Word of God and work at changing that which is wrong. And one of the reasons why many marriages don't really work is because God is outside and the family is inside and they are trying to resolve the problem without Him. It can't be resolved that way. You know, I've often had a situation where somebody would contact me and say, you know what, we're going through marital problems, can I come and see you? I say, okay, bring your husband with. No, he won't come. There's your problem. Because God needs to be involved in that marriage. Otherwise, that marriage is not going to last. Jesus Christ must be the foundation. Because whatever is not built on a solid foundation will crumble when there is pressure. Who of you have been married here longer than 30 years? Who's been married longer than 30 years? Ma'am, I don't mean to pick on you, but I just want to ask you a question. In these 30 years plus that you have been married, would you say that there's been good times and bad times? Has there been the odd storm? Did you have to weather those storms? Well, obviously, otherwise you wouldn't still be together. And would you say that the fact that your marriage is on a foundation that is solid made a difference? What would you say would have happened if you had to weather the same storms without that solid foundation? Would you two still be together? The lady gives me an emphatic no. But she's 100% correct. You know what? We are living in a country where it is very sad to say that we have the highest divorce rate in the entire world. Sis, shame on us. And can I tell you why? Because our country is falling apart. Our churches are closing down faster than what they are being established. Because our country has turned their back on God. We don't care about God anymore. I'm not speaking about you. Maybe I'm generalizing a little bit, but our country, when you look at it, our young people don't want you to talk to them about God. They have a problem when you know, we're not as bad as America yet, but the other day I was speaking to a principal about doing something at the school, and he immediately said to me, there's no way. I won't allow it because the other religions are going to be up in arms and this and that, and according to the government, we're not allowed to do these things. But in their manifest, they are a Christian school. Yeah. But he will not allow Christian things to be done at the school. This is where we're going, my friend, and this is what we are seeing, because we are removing God from society. We are removing the only one that can resolve the problems that society is facing right now. And that is the sad thing. And it's only we that can fix it. You and I, people. We need to pray for our government. We need to pray that the Lord will begin to touch the hearts of the people that have the say, that can say, listen, yeah, this is this and this is what we need to bring God back into this country. Right now, in our country, as far as I know, the Muslim faith is the fastest growing faith in our country. Come on, I need to see some shock on your faces here. Because that is shocking. They are putting up mosques left, right and center. They have a plan to take over the world. That's what they're working towards. They have a plan to take over the world. And let me tell you something. There is no other religion that can stop them besides Christianity. Because there is no power in any other religion. The Hindus can't do nothing. The Buddhists can't do nothing. The Buddhists aren't even allowed to fight. So what are they going to do? Turn around and run away. We need a militant church once again. And I don't mean militant in the fact that we all come to church with our AK-47 ready for a brawl. I mean militant in the fact that in our prayer life we don't take rubbish. We pray them away. We pray that God will change them, transform them. That God's Holy Spirit's fire will fall on their lives and that their leadership will get convicted of sin. If the Holy Spirit could convict me of sin, He can convict them of sin. But I need to pray, and you need to pray, and we need to pray, and the churches need to pray together that the Lord will begin to work in that way. Because it's no problem for God to resist the spirit behind the Muslim faith. But it's a problem for you and I to resist Him. We can't do it alone. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He reveals to us truth, and He will never reveal to us anything that is outside of Scripture. And that's also one of the good reasons why we need to spend time in the Word and get to know the Word. Because the Word that is living in me, the Spirit of God, will use it to give me revelation. He will use it to speak to me. It's amazing how these things work, but often I will have maybe read something during the week in my quiet time. And then maybe a day or two later, I'm talking to somebody and we are discussing something, and then it's amazing how the scripture that I read 2 days ago fits perfectly into what we are talking about. And I can use that scripture, and that person thinks to himself, yes, this guy knows the Bible. No, man, I just read it 2 days ago. That's all. But the Spirit of God could bring it to my remembrance and give me the revelation that, ooh, this fits in there. That's that piece of the puzzle. And that's how God works. We have to give Him the opportunity to work that way. My time is up. Did anybody learn something tonight? Yes. Is anybody here excited about God?
Amen.
Well, yeah, give the Lord a big hand. Now, why am I teaching you this stuff? Well, not because I don't have anything better to do. In fact, on a Wednesday night, I don't have anything better to do. This is the best that I can do. But I'm teaching you this stuff because I believe that the Lord wants to bring us to a point that we experience once again the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the same way that they experienced it way back when. Because we still have exactly the same calling to go out there and turn around the nations. To make disciples of all nations. And you know what? There are many nations right now that are falling apart, including our nation, South Africa. We are falling apart because we are no longer disciples of the Lord of Lords and of the King of Kings. We are disciples of rubbish. We are following rubbish. And it is reflected in our economy. It is reflected in our families. It is reflected in our society. It is reflected in our schools. We can change that. I said to you the first night that we spoke that I read a prophecy that Smith Wigglesworth gave in the 1940s. Where he spoke to a man by the name of Lester Sumrall. And he said to Lester Sumrall that he knows his time on earth is just about up. But the Lord has shown him that there will be a generation that will come after him that will experience the greatest revival that the world has ever seen.
Amen.
And I say to you that the Lord is waiting for the right generation to raise their hands and say, Lord, we want to be that generation. Why can't it be us? Hello? Does the Word of God collaborate what God showed Smith Wigglesworth? Yes. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. If the old men will only go and dream dreams at home, not in the church, they will dream dreams. And your handmaidens and your servants will prophesy. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Where are we living now? In the last days. Touch the person next to you. Do you feel flesh?
Yes.
Good. Good. As long as you feel flesh and there is a semblance of a heartbeat, there is life. And if there is life, it can contain Spirit. And it can contain the Holy Spirit. Then the Word of God is true. In the last days, the Lord says, I want to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. But you see, He's waiting for a generation that says, Lord, we are thirsty. Because most generations just don't seem to be thirsty. They want to do it my way. Who sang that song?
My way.
Yeah, it's Frank Sinatra. You see, my way might have worked for Frank Sinatra, but it won't work for you and I where God is concerned. We have to do it His way. Amen? His way. All right. If the Lord spoke to you tonight about something that I said, and if you know in your spirit that it is time for you to do what God wants you to do, whether that is commit your life to the Lord for the first time, whether that is get to the place that you are going to trust God and give the Holy Spirit the right to be your teacher, to be your guide, to lead you in all truth. I don't know because I don't know you. But I do know that as I was preaching and as I was bringing you the word, the Spirit of God was touching some of you in certain areas of your life. Then I would like to give you the opportunity to respond now. I would like to ask everybody in this place, please close your eyes and then pray this prayer with me and pray it from your heart. Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
I believe that you are the Son of God.
I believe that you are the Son of God.
You are the only way to God.
You are the only way to God.
And that you died on the cross,
for all of my sins.
I believe, Lord,
I believe,
that you rose again,
from the dead,
on the third day. You conquered death.
You conquered death.
You conquered sin.
You conquered sin.
You conquered Satan.
You conquered Satan.
You conquered every curse.
You conquered every curse.
And you are risen.
And you are risen.
I put my faith in you.
I put my faith in you.
And I believe,
and I believe
that you are able,
that you are able
to save me
and forgive me
for all of my sins. I've committed many. But I lay them down at your feet right now.
Feet right
and I'm trusting you, Lord,
trusting you,
for redemption.
Thank you, Jesus,
for your shed blood
that took away
all my sins
that were red as scarlet.
And right now,
I believe
I'm pure as snow.
I turn my back
on all the rubbish
I used to get up to.
And I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit,
that from today,
you will help me.
You will teach me.
You will guide me.
And speak into my spirit.
I thank you, Lord,
that I have in me
the Spirit of God
to lead and guide me.
Holy Spirit,
I open my heart
and I thank you
that you fill me now.
And I praise you, Lord,
for the new life
that I am about to live.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand.
Now I would like to ask you, who of you, while you were praying that prayer, felt something happen to you? Just raise your hands. All right, there was a lot of you. If you felt something happen to you tonight while you were praying that prayer, I need you to come forward because we want to pray with you. If the Lord spoke to you about something in your life tonight and you would like to come forward, please do so. If you believe that you need more of the Holy Spirit, you come forward. Amen? You come forward. Let me put it to you this way. If you want to get wet, you better fall in the water. Because people sitting on the side, they see the water, but they never experience the water.